Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Vav, the last daf, Masechta Baba Basra. We begin 5 lines down to the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of a previous Mishnah, which described the general halachas regarding the collection of a loan, the difference between a milva bishtar, a milva alpeh. So one of the halachas that the Mishnah mentioned was, Hoiti lav ksav yadu shu chayiv loy. If the lender produces a handwritten note by the borrower, an IOU, that he owes the lender, so then he can collect from available assets. It's not a documented loan with witnesses, but it's an IOU. He's obviously admitting, for his own obligations, from his available assets that the lender could collect from. Etc. So on that, the Gemara has the following question relating to this halacha. What's the halacha if, at a later point in time, the borrower gives over to the lender, not at the time of the loan. The loan, they just did any money. He did a milva peh, an oral loan. He then gives him, a few weeks later, he gives him his handwritten note saying, you know, just that we don't forget, I owe you this amount of money. Now, so it comes into court, and he admits to the court that this is his handwriting. So, huchzik sab yod bebezin. So what happens is that the court writes a henpek. They write what's called an asharta, which is the validation of the document. They create a chazaka that this is his handwriting. We validate it, we verify it, we know that it's for sure that he admits to this obligation. Because even if he writes a handwritten note, he could contest at a certain point in time. But here he goes, he admits it. And that Gemara's question is, my, what's the halacha? What's the question? The question is, do we say from that point on that then he admitted to this handwriting in the court, and the court creates their verification, they sign their names, the judges sign on this. Do we say that now the handwritten note becomes like what's called a shtar shesh be'edim, like a regular document with witnesses, with testimony, and hence that the lender from this point on could collect from the chasam shabadim, from anyone that bought from this borrower's properties after this point in time? Because although it doesn't say on that documentation anything about responsibility, achrayis insurance, which is the whole halacha of if you can't pay, I'm going to collect from your assets. But if we view this from a purely halachic standpoint as a document, any document of a loan or of a sale that is considered a shtar, which has testimony that's signed on it with, like, let's say, witnesses, could be collected from the chasam shabadim, because we say it's a toy cipher. If it doesn't have written, it's as if it does have it written. It's just a scribal error. So it's as if Achrayis has written it. So would we say that, okay, now the court signed it, it became a document. So now, from this point on, anyone that buys afterwards could be collected from if this borrower doesn't pay up. Or maybe do you say, that is the other part of the Gemara's question, that no, the validation of the document doesn't help for anything else of the document, but just to be machzik in court for whatever it was up until now, what that means to say is that it shouldn't become less than that. In other words, if let's say witnesses would die, or the borrower, so that what's going to happen is that they shouldn't be able to claim, this document, oh, was forged, it wasn't even his own handwriting. That is what the court is verifying, they're doing a key mashtar, so that then the lender could collect with it, however, but it'll only be able to collect from the chasam b'nei chayrin. And for that, the court helps, that now the borrower cannot say, that's not my handwriting. On that, the court already verified that it is. So it's for that that it'll maintain what is. But to make it more and to turn it into a shtar, maybe that's not what it does. That's the Gemara's question. So Malay, so Rabbi Yochanan responded back to Rabbi Bar Nosson, Afa pishahosik savyada bebezin, even though this has been verified, documented, and through the testimony of the court that this is a true savyada and that he owes it, and still the lender could only collect some available assets from the borrower. It does not create into a shtar per se, which then would make him allow to collect from that point on from the chasam shabadim. On this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, Masav Rami Bachama, he asks a question from the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin on this approach of Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah says, Shleisha Gittin Psulin, there are 3 divorce documents that are void from using to allow the woman to remarry with. They are, but then the Mishnah qualifies as vimnisis of Lat Kasha. However, if she does ultimately get married with these documents, but after the fact, the child that's born from that new union will be Kasha, will not be considered a mamzer, she's not going to be considered an eshetish. The Ketchila we say not, but with the Evet, it's going to work. Ve'elohin, and these are the 3 gittin. Kasa b'ksav yadai ve'enu lav edim. If the husband writes it with his own handwriting, and there's no witnesses sign on that get, but it's given over in front of witnesses, where at least b'di'evet, as we see from the Mishnah, like etchila is not kosher, because we need edi chasima, we need witnesses signed on the document, but after the fact, Edim Isira, what's called the witnesses that view the giving over of the get, they could also be karakti, they could also create decreases the validity of the get. Second one is Yeshul of Edim Ve'im Be'zman. There are witnesses in the get, but there's no date. Or Yesh Be'zman Ve'im Be'ele Erechad. Or there is a date, but there's still only one witness. Hare Eilu Shleshi Gittin V'sulim. These are the three Gittin that are invalid. But that's only the Ketchila V'mnisis of Vlad Kasha. But if she does end up getting married with that get, the child will be Kasha. And Masechet is Gittin that explains why does it say Hare Eilu in the Reisha and it says Hare Eilu at the Sefer. What's it coming to exclude that these are and what not? There the Gemara explains it very well. But that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Lazaimer, he says, no, Afa Pisha Einu Lav Edim, even if there's no witnesses signed in the get, Ela Shenasnu Lav Bifnei Edim, as long as it was given over in front of witnesses, Kasher, it's Kasher, even like a Tchila, because he holds, unlike the Tanakhama, like her mayor, that holds Edim Chasima Karati, he holds Edim Asira Karati, the primary element of the get is, meaning which creates decreases, the severance of the husband and wife, is the witnesses who see the giving over, not the ones that are signed in the document. Actually, the signing is only a takana drabana, according to Rabbi Lazar. And the gavim nechasim shabadim. What does that mean to say? What does it get after nechasim shabadim? So the Gemara over there in Masechet Gittin explains that if similarly, if there was a loan document, and this document was written with the borrower's own handwriting, and there were no witnesses on the document, but it was given over in front of witnesses to the lender, then the lender could collect from nechasim shabadim. As the Gemara there explains from Rabbi Yechon according to Rabbi Lazar in Masechet Gittin Chav Beis Mabeis, that even by other documents, you could collect with Nechasim Mishabadim according to Rabbi Lazar just with Edim and Sira. So one thing that you see from Rabbi Lazar's opinion is that even though it's just his handwriting that he is obligated, that he owes the lender, and as long as it's given over in front of witnesses, that allows the lender to collect from Nechasim Mishabadim from the common properties. So therefore the Gemara's question, especially that was Rabbi Yechon who explained that, that on Rabbi Yechanan, that for sure if it's Hulsik in Bezdin, if just two witnesses viewing the document, which doesn't have witnesses signed on it, it shouldn't be able to collect from the Chasim Meshabadim. But as long as witnesses saw that was given over, that allows it. So if the court saw it and they even signed on it and they verified it, for sure that should turn it into a shtar and allow the collection from the Chasim Meshabadim, which contradicts what Rabbi Yechanan had said, that no, even if it was Hulsik Savi Adab Bezdin, you could only collect from the Chasim Nechairin. And that the Gemara answers no. Shani Hasam, there in that Mishnah Masechet Gittin Rabbi Lazar is different. Why? The Mishas Ksivu Hu Disha Benafshe, because from the moment that it was written, that document was the person made himself indebted to create a lien on his properties. Why? Because when that document was written, although that yes, there were no witnesses signed in the document, but it was written with the intention to be given over in front of witnesses, so that the Edim Misiri should take the place of the Edim Chasima. That's why, according to Rabbi Lazar, the Edim Misiri could be Karti, because it's as if they're signed in the document. But here in our situation, the question we were asking was regarding if someone just writes an IOU, just writes his own handwriting, where it just has the name of the borrower signed on it, that's taking the place of like an admission, where the purpose of that admission is just that he can't back out and deny and say, oh, that I paid, because as long as his handwriting is by the lender, that indicates that he didn't pay it up yet. But it wasn't made in the medium, in the lexicon of a documentation of like a document that has witnesses that are signed on it. It's just at a later point in time, the court happens to verify it. However, at the time of the loan, it was an oral loan. And therefore, when the court goes ahead and validates it, they cannot turn it into a document that, like, as if a shtar that has a chrayis nechasim, because that was not the intention of what it was originally written for. It was originally written as an admission. Now, although the court later goes and verifies it and says that it's a true admission, but what? What is it creating it into? It's creating it into just nahidah, but not into a shtar. Although that halacha Rabbi Lazar seems to be the same thing, where it was also not written with witnesses, and just the viewing of the Edim Misira make it into a shtar, but that's what it was written for. It was written with the intention that the Edim Misira should turn it into a shtar, as if they were almost signed in it, which is the Edim Chasima. That is the halacha you could be given the Chasim Shabadim. In this case, it was not written with that intention, and therefore, although it's ultimately validated by the courts, that does not turn it into a shtar, which allows to be collected from the Chasim Shabadim, and that's what Yechon says, you can only collect from the Chasim Necharim. Mishnah then said another halacha regarding this general topic of documents, of loan documents, Arav Hayotel Acher Chisim Shtaris Bechulu, regarding if a guarantor signed on the document that he's being the guarantor after the witnesses had already signed. So then we had this machlekes in regarding the Nechasim Ben Echarin, could you collect from him from his available properties, or Benana said even that you can't collect from him. Now, relating to this halacha, Amar Rav, he said, but if kaidim chitim shtaris, if let's say the guarantor signed on that he's taking responsibility before the witness's signature, then kaidim nechasim mishabadim, then you can even collect from his incumbent properties because the witness is signed on to that, and therefore the kol goes out, and therefore those who bought from the ariv knew that they might suffer a loss, and therefore if the borrower defaults, they could collect even from the nechasim mishabadim of the ariv. But la'achar chisim shtaris, as we learned in the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and Mishnah, if they signed after the signing of the witnesses on the document, they gave them the chasim necharim, then they could only collect from the available possessions of the arv. Now, however, the Gemara tells us that zimnan of a rab, but sometimes Rab would say a different way. Afila koydim chitim shtaris, that even if the arv signed on before the witness's signature, in a gave elam nechasim necharim, the lender could still only collect from the available possessions of the arv, not from his nechasim mishabadim. So ask the Gemara, kas rabba the rab. That contradicts his previous halacha, which he said that if it's before the witness signature, then the lender could collect even from the nechasim mishabadim of the arv. Says the Gemara, like kas, that's not difficult. Ha, the second statement of Rab that says that you could only collect from the chasim b'nei chayrin, even if he signed on before the witness is signed, is the chasim be pleini arv. The words that it says the whole loan document, that this guy's borrowing this amount of money from this person. And then it says, this person is a guarantor, which is a stop. It doesn't have a continuation. Now, so therefore, although the witness is signed after his signing on, but maybe their testimony, what they're testifying is only regarding the documentation that's above what his line was. Maybe they're not verifying. Maybe they just, there was no room, so they sign under him. But maybe they're not verifying that point. They're not signing onto that. And therefore, that's not going to allow the lender to collect from the chasim shabadim of the arv, because for that, the witnesses didn't necessarily testify. But ha, the first statement of Rab that said that if he signed on before the witness's testimony, that then it could be collected from his nechasim shabadim, is the chasim be uplaini arv. The document says, and this person is the Arab. Now, the Vav is always called Moitzav Alein Rishon. It comes to add, it's a continuation of the previous statement. So therefore, when the witnesses are signing, it's one contiguous statement. They're testifying regarding the document and regarding the Arevis because it's Uplein the Arav. And that's why in that statement, yes, Rav said, then you could even collect from the Chasam Mishabadim of the guarantor. That's what Rav said. Rabbi Yechanan, however, Rabbi Yechanan said, Echadzeh be'echadzeh, which according to the Gemara's Havamina, it sounds like what it's saying is no, whether you go with a vav or without a vav, in a gaiva elam l'chasim necharin, the lender could only collect from the available possessions of the arv. Vavagav the kasa be'uplein the arv, and even if it said, and that person is the arv, still, that does not allow us to collect from the chasim mishabadim of the arv. Now, on this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara Masa Rav, he asked a contradiction from Rabbi Yechanan's own opinion. Learn the following braisa. It says that if witnesses testify regarding a greeting that's written in a get, meaning it says a get, then it says, besides that this guy's divorcing this guy, they didn't have ways of communication. So it also says, send regards to this person on the bottom of the get. And then you have the witness's signature. Says the bride, it's a puzzle. So then that's going to be puzzle. Why is the get puzzle? Chashin and Shem, al-she'ila shalom chasim. We're concerned that maybe, what are the witnesses testifying? Maybe they're just testifying regarding the greeting that this guy was saying. We verify that this guy's greeting you, that he's the one that's asking how you're doing. We don't know what's going back on the get. And therefore you have a get that doesn't necessarily have edim. So it's puzzle. Now, Vamre Bavo have said an explanation of this braisa. Ledidime far shalom mined Rabbi Yechanan. To me, it was explained from Rabbi Yechanan. And again, that's who we're asking on. Did he explain she'ilu is puzzle? If it says, ask this guy how he's doing, without a vav, then it's puzzle, because then maybe their testimony is only going back on the greeting. Vish'ilu, and ask this guy how he's doing, which that sounds like that the witnesses who are signing are not going back just on that, because that's a continuation of the previous statement. So it sounds like they're testifying on everything. Then it's kosher, then they get his kosher. So you see the Rabbi Yechanan holds Vav does connect the statements. So that contradicts his previous. He said that even with a Vav, we don't consider connected, and therefore it's going to be puzzle. You're not going to be able to collect from the Chasim Mishabadim, from the Arv, because maybe they're not going back on him. Maybe they only go back on what it says previously. Yet here we see clearly that he says that the Vav does connect and make it into one statement. So says the Gemara, no, Hachanam, you're right. As we see from Rabbi Yechanan's halacha, that Rabbi Bavo quoted from him, he holds Vav does connect. Hachanami here also in the halacha that we were quoting in our sugi is the custom plain the arav. It says only that with adavav, that this guy is the guarantor. So then you cannot collect from the chasim mishpadim. So the gemara says hachayin the rav. So then that's exactly what we said with Rav. Rav, the way we ultimately explained him, held that there's a difference between with a vav or without a vav. So what's Rabbi Yochanan disagreeing with him? So the Gemara, Eima, you're right. Say v'chein om Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't disagree with Rav, and based on that, the words that Rabbi Yochanan was saying when he says echad zeh ve'echad zeh doesn't mean whether with a vav or without a vav. It would mean whether the Arv signed before the signature of the witnesses or after the signature of the witnesses, but both are Toma without a vav, then you could only collect with, from the Chasam B'nai Charan. But yes, if it was before their signature and with a vav, he would agree to Rav that then you collect from the Chasam Mishabadim of the Arv. Now the Mishnah then concluded and said that there was this machlekes with, but there was a maisa bolif nei Bishmol, but Chul was an incident that came from Bishmol with this halacha. And he had paskin that if it was after chisim shtaris of the witnesses, and then the arv signed on, then you could collect from the chasim necharin of the arv. And the bananas disagreed with him and said that no, you cannot even collect from the chasim necharin of the arv because he's just trying to save the guy and he's not taking any responsibility. The loan didn't have anything to do with him, and therefore there's no shibud at all, even from his chasim necharin, p'chulu, etc. Now, so on that, the Mishnah concluded that Rabbi Shmuel said, wow, because Benana said a beautiful logic to explain why there would not be an obligation. On that, Rabbi Bechonam, Rabbi Yechonam says, Afa pishakilis Rabbi Shmuel is Benanas, even though Rabbi Shmuel praised the opinion of Benanas, who disagreed with him and held that you cannot collect even from the Chasim Nechairin of the Arv if he signed on afterwards. But Halacha Kamaisa, Halacha does follow Rabbi Shmuel regarding this Arv that's Yetzel Acher Chitim Shtaris, that you do collect from the Chasim Nechairin of the Arv. However, Yibaylu had the following question, however. B'chanuk mali amr b'shmol, regarding a case which was the basis of Benanis' logic, why he was disagreeing with Rabbi Shmol and saying, well, it doesn't make sense that the Arab should be obligated even the Chasim Echarim because he's just, the loan didn't have anything to do with him. So there should be no lien on even his own properties. He's just trying to help out a guy, trying to save the guy. And he proved it from the fact that the guy's getting choked. And the guy says, don't choke him, I'll pay it. He's not really taking any obligations. He's trying to save the guy. So on that, the Gemara asked, regarding such a case, what would Rabbi Shmuel say over there? In other words, maybe because of the pain that his friend's going through, that he's getting choked, maybe Rabbi Shmuel would agree that, yeah, he conclusively would make himself, like he says, by a regular arv, that tirtz l'achachim and shtaris, that he's makna and he's chayv from his nechasim nechayrin, same thing would apply even by the case of Chanuk, or maybe over there he would agree to Benanis that no, his whole intention is to save the guy from getting choked. And he's actually doing a mitzvah, and he's not making the lender lose anything, because the lender anyway gave the money already. Already loaned, he's not making him give the loan because of him. And therefore, maybe he would not be an arv and wouldn't be obligated even from his nechasim necharin. So says the Gemara, Tashema, come in here, the Amr B'Yakov, Amr B'Yechanan, it says, Chalak Rabbi Shmuel, Af B'Chanak. Rabbi Shmuel disagreed, even in that case, even the source of Benanis' disagreement to Rabbi Shmuel, which Rabbi Shmuel praised, ultimately Rabbi Shmuel did disagree, and held that even in such a case, since he promised, he said, leave me alone, I'll pay, that you could collect from the Chasim Nechairin of that Arif. But then the Gemara asks, Halacha Kamaisa, Ein Halacha Kamaisa. So we said the halacha is like him in the case that they disagreed, which was regarding signing on to a document after their witnesses had signed. So with that, we said, you collect from the Chasim Nechairin. But regarding the case of choking, where even Rabbi Shmuel disagrees, but do we say that even there the halacha is like him? Or maybe there we would say halacha is like Benan, is that no, you cannot collect even from the Chasim Nechairin of the Arab. Says the Gemara, Tashema, come in here, the Chiyasa Rav, and Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Chalak Rabbi Shmuel, Apachanak. Shmuel disagreed even in the case of when the bar was being choked, and he said, leave him alone, I'll pay. V'alocha kamaisa, Apachanak, and Alocha does fall like him, even in the case of being choked. So Amr Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, he says, Chanuk l'konami yadi. If the bar is being choked, and the Arav steps and says, look, leave him alone, I'll pay up. And the guy says, I don't trust you. And they make a kinyan, he's makna, the shibud, of his taking responsibility of the loan. So then Mishtabit. So then says Shmuel, okay, that creates a lien on his properties and makes himself obligated. Now, on that, the Gemara makes the following inference. Machlal de Arv Ba'alma, so the inference is, but a general Arv, loy ba'i kinyan, that then he would not require a kinyan. It's only in the case of Chanuk, which is really, he's not coming to obligate himself, he's just trying to save the guy. But so to really prove it, he has to make a kinyan. But it sounds like a regular Arv, that then he wouldn't have to make a kinyan, just taking the responsibility without making a formal kinyan would make him meshubid on his nechasim necharin. Says the Gemara, pligid Rav Nachman, and therefore it must be that Shmuel's halacha disagrees with Rav Nachman's halacha. Because I'm Rav Nachman said, as a kinyan tam and beis, that arv de bezdin hu deloy poy kinyan, that when someone is a guarantor in court, Then, once he says in court, and they say, are you taking responsibility? And he says, yes. Then you don't have to make a kinyan. The reason why that is that the Gemara will conclude is because with that benefit that he sees that the court trusts him, so he conclusively, it's a substantial type of a benefit, which that itself is a transfer where he makes himself obligated because he gets that benefit that people say, wow, he's a trustworthy guy. So that's where Reb Nachman says you don't need a kinyan. Now, Haba'alma, the inference of Reb Nachman's halach is that in general, and at least as we'll shortly see, when it's after the money was already given, and then he comes and he wants to make himself the Arev, that Ba'i Kinyan, that then you would need a Kinyan, which is not like Rabbi Shmuel, not like Shmuel, where there was the three levels. Shmuel held that, look, by the case of when the guy's being Chanuk, so then you need a Kinyan. But generally, you don't need a Kinyan. Whereas Reb Nachman says that no, in the courts, when you're really getting a benefit out of that, then you don't need a Kinyan. But in general, when it's the money was already given, and then he says, you know, don't worry, I'll take care of it, then you need a kinyan. So you have the machlokes Shmuel and Reb Nachman in that middle case of, in general, after the money was given, and the guy says, I'll be the Arab, do you need a formal kinyan to be obligated and to make a shibra in his nechasim lechayrin or not? And that the Gemara qualifies and paskins the hilchos halacha is Arav b'shas matan mois. If he becomes a guarantor at the time of the loan, I mean, the guy's like, you want to borrow money? Who's your Arav? I mean, how am I going to know I'm going to get my money? So he says, this guy. And this guy says, yes, you're going to be the guarantor. So if it's at the time of the loan, so then says the Gemara, loy b'y kinyan. Then you don't even have to do a formal kinyan. And just by promising that he'll, just by guaranteeing, he becomes meshubit, because the lender could tell him, look, if not for you, I would never have lent him the money. So that itself obligates the guarantor to pay up that debt. Now, and therefore, if let's say this was written in the document before the witness is signed, so then you could collect, as we said, as long as it says that vav, you could even collect from the chasim mishabadim, as we said, even Rabbi Yechon ultimately agreed to that halacha. Acher matan mois, but if let's say the guarantor guarantees the loan already after the loan was already given, for example, like the case of Chanuk, then ba'i kinyan. Then we said that you have to go ahead and do a kinyan, a formal act of acquisition, to become obligated in that because already, the loan was already given. How are you becoming the Arab? It's only if you make a kinyan, and this is even if it's signed in the document. Now, and as we said, if it's signed after the witness's signature, there's then you need a kinyan, and then still even then, you could only collect from the chasim necharin because the witnesses did not sign on his signing on. He signed on as an Arab after the witnesses had signed, because again, it was already after the money was given that he becomes an Arav. And concludes the Gemara, Arav de Bezna, as we said before from Rav Nachman, if he's a guarantor in the court, loy boy kinyan, and as the Gemara is obviously passing like Rav Nachman Bedini, that if he's making himself a guarantor in the courts, then loy boy kinyan, then he does not need a kinyan, and this is even afterwards. And the reason for that is because the Bahia no de Mehemele, from that benefit that they trust him, the court sees, yes, he could be a guarantor, Gummer Meshabat Lay, so then he conclusively makes himself indebted. That's like the formal kinyan that in general you need to do Lachar Matan Mois. In the court, that benefit is enough of a kinyan type of thing which would make him into an Arab even without doing a formal kinyan. Hanilach Ke Pashat, we shall return to the 10th Perek Masechta Baba Basra, Perek Ke Pashat, for Slikala Masechta Baba Basra, and we have concluded the Masechta Baba Basra.